again, this is Gopi Bose reporting.
To me, then, air of excitement. Since ISK is winning up before your guys, I thought. Yeah. This is our very first meeting for this year, 2008. I welcome each and every one of you and hope we are going to be able to work together on first assignment. I don't know if the members did get the analysis of the results that distributed to everybody. He is new, he only came to Parliament in January. So he's brand new. So that was his very first assignment. Please feel free to make use of him in whatever way. We do have just two apologies of members that are going to be joining us a bit late. That is our comrade Matumela is going to see a doctor. And Faith Mendor is also in another committee, hoping he'll be joining us. We will be meeting in the same venue next week at the same time. If we go to our white paper. Next week we'll be dealing with the implementation of further education and training. The current program of the protocol that we're having is more of a tentative one. Because if you look at our program again, we're going to have a strategy workshop. That strategy workshop is where we're going to be looking at the year broadly, looking at the new development, how education has been declared as one of the priorities, and together see how best we fit into that. So we'll be busy reviewing our program on that when it comes to that. I don't know if our technicians are ready for, not yet. I'm told the DD is still with the media, I think he's going to be joining us, media president. Some of these things, Mr. Sisi, we missed out on this thing. How I wish we could be informed about even this media briefing, so that it could be part of that and get it while what is being discussed there. Some of us are totally blank, we're just hearing now. We could have started there and have received. But I hope we'll be able to give the copies of the whatever document that is there for the members of the committee. I think, yes. Maybe I forgot that part of personally. I remember we were one family here. If you want anything to say, I think I did indicate that 20 years that I was going to say it. And my dear turned 20 on the 20th of November last year. Remember in our last meeting, I trimmed it a little bit. But I think it was on the 26th of November. My beard was 20 years old on the 20th of November last year, and I deliberately cut it off. So that is the new look. Anything else under personalia that you want to share? Nothing. Mr. Sissy, do I hand over to you to lead that? I think we'll be using this while we're waiting for technology. You can introduce your team and fire on it. How are if my members were not that far? I don't know. I wish my members were closer than they are. But anyway.
Chairperson, thank you very much for the opportunity. The Director General will join us shortly. But I've been requested to proceed with the presentation. I trust that our technicians will have sorted out the technical problems we are currently experiencing. Prior to the meeting, Chair, we provided the committee with four reports. These four reports are one report on the senior certificate, a technical report on the senior certificate. The second one is the report on the ABET examination. The third one is on the FET College examination. And then the last and the fourth one is on the strategy for supporting learners, national strategy for learner attainment. So those are the four documents that we provided the committee prior to come here. And so the presentation was meant to try and capture all the four documents in a kind of an analytical manner. But as much as the chairperson, the focus in examinations is in always the senior certificate. But I would like to start by indicating that the Department of Education runs 12 examinations every year. Six of those examinations are FET College exams. Two of them are the examinations for adult education, and the two is the senior certificate, which is a supplementary, and as well as the main November examination. And then last year had the grade 11 examination that was conducted nationally, as well as the NCV examination that was also conducted. All of these examinations have been quality assured by our external quality assurance body, UMALUSI.
When the NCV?
The National Certificate Vocational. And we are pleased that we succeeded. I would like to spend most of the time, though, Chairperson, speaking to the matric class of 2007 and its results. And if time allows, I will speak to the rest of other examinations if members would request that we do so. The special thing about the class of 2007 was that this is a group of young people who had begun schooling in 1996. These young people have had 12 years of schooling in a democratic, non-racial, non-sexist, and a single education system. And the last group of learners to write a fully-fledged senior certificate examinations, as we all know that in 2008 we are going to be writing the first examination of the National Senior Certificate. So the old metric, this is the class of 2007 was the last group to write the old metric. In 2008 we'll be writing the new metric. And I think what is also important about this group of learners, Chairperson, is that they wrote 11 nationally set examinations. Of these 11 subjects, 97% of all 850,000 candidates who enrolled for matric in 2007, right. So, by and large, the examination, the senior certificate and examination, is set at national level and administered at provinces. And I think that is the difference, because it was only the second year. In the past, we only had five national subjects that were written, which was math, science, biology, English second language, and accounting. And we added five of those which were also set nationally. This class of 2007 is also special in that it's the largest group of learners to write matric in the same city. We had about 564,000 who sat and wrote the 2007 examination. And this is an increase in terms of the numbers of learners who write to 124,000 since 2003. So over the period of 4 years, we had increased the number of learners writing matric with 124,507 young people who wrote last year. I think those are particular areas that we would like to indicate. The presentation would like to is based on five basic premises. And these are, firstly, we are going to be emphasizing the numbers of learners passing, because we believe that when you do that, you are emphasizing access and retention of learners in the education system in some way. we are going to speak about numbers of learners passing with endorsement, especially in maths and science and other gateway subjects, because we believe that this is one area where we could argue strongly issues of quality in the system. We are also going to speak about numbers writing, as I've done in my opening remarks, to try and indicate the improved participation in the system. In all schools, we emphasize the issue of underperformance. We believe that as much as we have emphasized that we are going into in terms of our national strategy for learner attainment, try and eliminate performance of schools under 50%. But it is important that the committee also knows that our focus in supporting learners is in all the schools, because we believe that each school has a potential to do better. And we have visited hundreds of schools nationally, and we have a record of our numbers of schools visited by our provincial education department. And I think somewhere in the presentation we are going to indicate what are our observations, and therefore what is it that we are going to do in 2008, especially because this is a different year. Whereas there are schools that may have done very well because they have a good track record in the old matric, the challenge that we are faced with in the new curriculum is that it's a curriculum that we argue very strongly that is of higher quality, and we want to emphasize that in 2008 there will be a much more emphasis in ensuring that it's not just the examination that is of high standards and of high quality, but also teaching is reciprocate those standards. Currently, we are proud to indicate that the national examinations, all 12 of them, are run by the Education Department, and in the last number of years, we've never had any leakage of question papers in our examinations. It's in such a manner that you no longer even have any doubt among the members of the public that when we run exams, there could be any leak. And we feel proud of this. We also are proud of the fact that Higher Education South Africa, as well as Umalusi and other observers, have continuously been indicating that the quality of assessment tools that we use and that we administer are of a standard that is comparable internationally. I will, if there is time later on, in my concluding remarks, try to indicate how we are preparing for the conduct of the 2008 examinations, because this is the first and one of the most in the history of our education, since it's the first group of learners to write the first National Senior Certificate examination in the new curriculum, and we feel very proud that we are at this time in the history of our education at the position where we are able to say this. The national standard setting, I think it's important for me to also say that in and before 1995, different education departments set and marked senior certificate exams. From 1996, 9 provincial departments set and marked exams. In 2000 to 2001, 5 national examinations were set. And from 2002 to 2005, 6 were set. In 2006 and 7, 11 national examinations were set. And I think this also defines the kind of quality. We can, for example, argue that the national examinations are not just based on provincially set standards, but they are based on a nationally set standard in 11 of the biggest subjects that are written by young people in South Africa. On the 19th of December, Umalusi approved the senior certificate examination results. As you know, once the examination is complete and marking is complete, a resulting process begins. During the resulting process, Umalusi, the external quality assurer, will look into the entire examination cycle, looking at each milestone from the time of registration to the time of the setting of examinations up until the resulting phase, to establish if the department in its conduct of the examination has complied with examination policies and regulations as well as OMALUSI policies for quality assurance. And therefore, on the 19th of December, OMALUSI issued a public statement in which they indicated that the senior certificate examinations and other exams that were conducted in 2007 were conducted with integrity, and therefore they approved that those results be released. And after that statement, then the department started preparing for the release of the results, which was done on the 28th of December. And the statement of OMALUSI, and I would like to quote, after studying the current information at hand, which was obtained from the exam quality assurance processes, OMALUSI Council declares that the standard and conduct of exams is consistent with the policy, and therefore the results are approved. I think it's important to say this, because it's not us saying that our examinations are of quality, but it is our statutory body and comments by our peers internationally that this is so. I would like to start the presentation by indicating, Chairperson, the good news of the 2007 exams, because most of the time I'm going to be trying to balance the areas where I feel that we're still struggling in the system and areas where I think we really have done very well. So at this point in time, I want to read from the slide what I consider to be the good news of the Matric 2007 examinations. There are 10 of these. Firstly, the 2007 certificate exam showed an increase of 16,714 learners that passed grade 12. You know, 16,714 learners passed grade 12 in 2007 compared to 2006. This means that if you were to compare the numbers of young people passing matric since 2001, you have 91,000 more young people exiting the system with a senior certificate over a period of 5 years since 2001. We feel that this is very important. You can argue that also the numbers of learners that write has increased, but we are pleased that equally the numbers who pass also have increased over the last 5 years. We can also argue that this speaks well for issues of retention in the system and as well as throughput. Obviously, we cannot say that this is a perfect picture, but we are saying that this is an indicator that there is some improvement in that regard. Secondly, in 2007, the results showed an increase of 13,000 and more learners passing mathematics compared to 2006. This means that there are 37,000 more young people who have passed mathematics in 2007 compared to the year 2000. And I think this is also a significant statistical evidence. Thirdly, in 2007, there was an increase in the number of learners passing science, with 4,000 of those, with 4,675 more than in 2007. And again, this is a demonstration that in science, we had almost 5,000 additional young people passing the examination in sciences. You are aware that Chairperson, every year we have the Most Improved School Award. In the Most Improved School Awards, we try to really identify areas where schools have done very well. And in 2005, the Deputy President indicated to us that the numbers of young people who pass is not pleasing. If we were only going to speak about higher grade passes. And so we started an area that speaks to schools that pass more than 100 higher grade passes in mathematics. In South Africa, we only in 2006 had 13 of those schools that had more than 100 passing mathematics with higher grade. There are many schools that are doing mathematics in the system, but if you look at the numbers that are doing maths in those schools, you will find that the numbers are very small. Whereas when you go to the very same school and you look into lower grades, grade 9, 10, and 11, there's quite a bigger number of young people doing mathematics. But when you look into the numbers that rank the matric, this number become less and less. And therefore, we as a way of encouraging the schools to increase in their, especially the schools that have done well in the past, they are the ones that we feel that are letting us down in this regard, because they already have the potential to do this. They've got the resources, and they've got a good track record that indicates that they can actually do better. So whereas we emphasize in schools that are underperforming to start developing their capacity, but indeed we are also worried with the rest of other schools that have the potential to do better in this regard. So 14 schools, which is an improvement of at one school, since in 2006 we had 13 of those schools that passed mathematics by young people, 100 more young people passing in each of those schools. 10 schools had more than 100 passes in science, 137 schools had more than 100 candidates passing with endorsement. And the seventh piece of evidence that is we also are happy with is the fact that since 1996, there's always been in the matric results, when you announce the results, an indication that says that the gap between boys and girls, the performance gap was very wide. In 1996, we're speaking at something like 8.3%, the gap between boys and girls that passed matric. This gap has been narrowing all the time. To such an extent that in 2002, this narrowed from 8.3% to 3.5%. And in 2007, this reached a remarkable 1.6%. And we believe that this shows improvement. We're quite aware that equally as much as girls are showing that they are doing better, but there's a lot of girl learners that also enroll and they do not succeed in the examination, which means that we have succeeded to bring girls into gateway subjects, not just doing subjects that are not key and in the economy, but most importantly, our emphasis in 2008 going forward is going to be saying, let's not just have girls in registered, but let's start questioning our support systems to those girls, so that this success that we are seeing since 1996 continues to show itself. Overall, 149,000 learners passed mathematics and 115,000 passed science. We are disappointed that the endorsement rate went down in 2007. We are disappointed that it went down by 400 learners. But if you look at the statistics since 2003, you can actually see that we have almost 16% around that on average of young people passing with endorsement in our system. And in established systems internationally, you are speaking of something like 20% of young people who qualify to enter university. And therefore, we feel that there is a big gap, almost 5%, that we need to close before we can even argue that we are comparable to some even of the developing countries and a few in our continent as well. Lastly, the good news, more learners than any other time passed in 2007. There's never been a time in the history of our of matric in South Africa that we have registered more than 368,217 young people passing in examinations in the same city. So we feel that the big number of learners that passed last year is significant. We are equally worried about those who fail as well. We get into the part of the presentation where I'm worried, because it would be better if I had it projected. Continue hoping that they will catch me on the way. But the first slide that was going to be projected was a slide that shows numbers passing, which indicates that since 2004, in the last 4 years until 2007, we have had a steady increase of young people passing matric in the system, from 330,000 in 2004 to 368,000 in 2007. But the second slide was going to show a different angle to it, because it was going to not look at numbers, but look at the percentage. It is clear that since 2004, the results in terms of percentage have been declining. The results have been going down. And you would recall that we were at 70.7% in 2004 in our pass rate. And this pass rate has been declining steadily from that level in 2004 to 65.2% in 2008. And I think that this is something that is worrying. We can have a dedicated discussion on this at some point, Chair, but we will ask you that since in 2007, for example, this was the last year of the old metric, we do believe that there is a possibility that there's a lot of borderline learners that may have passed grade 11 as borderline cases that were allowed to get into matric, and therefore the quality of the class of 2007 compared to the quality of the matric that would normally we have in the matric in other years may have been compromised by this factor. We haven't done any study in this regard, but we have just completed an analytical report of the senior certificate, which we will provide members with a copy as well, as a fifth copy, because the four reports that we provided members are technical reports, but the analytical report, which tries to speak into these numbers and tries to indicate what and how as a department do we interpret these statistics. The numbers that passed have increased. I would like to look into the provincial statistics just to demonstrate how this national statistic defines itself in each of the nine provinces. The Western Cape, if I were to just do a league table, the Western Cape performed the best. In that the Western Cape had 80.60% pass rate in 2007, but which was a decline of minus 3.1% from the previous year. Gauteng was second with 74.6, which is a decline of minus 3.7%. Free State being the third with 70.4, which was a decline of minus 1.8%. Northern Cape being the fourth with 70.3, very little that separates Free State and Northern Cape, with minus 660. And the Northern Cape have declined. I think it recorded in Northern Cape recorded the biggest decline among all the nine provinces at minus 6.5. We will speak to this, because we believe that Northern Cape received, for example, in 2007, the entire district that was from northwest, the Galagadi district, which was actually the poorest performing district in the northwest. As a department, we can't say we knew that this district was poorly performing, but we are saying it's an excuse for the decline of performances in the northwest. That's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that we can understand how this happens, because Northern Cape has always been up there in terms of its performance. Also, it is the smallest province in terms of the number of young people that write matric. The sixth province was the Northwest, with 67% in its pass rate. The one of the two only provinces that recorded an improvement in their pass rate. Northwest improved by 0.2%, much more a stable performance compared to, but it's 0.2% increase from the previous year. And following Northwest is KwaZulu-Natal with 63.8%, a decline of minus 1.8% pass. Mpumalanga follows with 60.80, a decline of minus 4.5%. And Limpopo, which is one of the only two provinces that improved the matric result, improved by 2.3%. I would argue that Limpopo is the province that improved the most in the 2007. And lastly, we have the Eastern Cape with 56.90, a decline of minus 2.4%. And nationally, the decline compared to 2006 is minus 1.4%. Compared to 66.62% in 2006, a decline of minus 1.4%, taking us to 65% in 2007. I just want to speak in a little bit more detail in terms of what do we read from the statistics of 2007, from what provincial results are saying to us. In the Western Cape, Chairperson, as much as when we speak about the national average of endorsement passes, and we're putting it at 16%, but the Western Cape has always been around 26%. In its endorsement rate. And last year, in 2008, the province went down to 24.6%. So, at the Western Cape, if you look at 2003 to 2004, to 2007 results, have been declining in its endorsement rate as well, from 26.6% to 24% last year. But I foregrounded these comments earlier on, by trying to indicate that the context in which this has been achieved also needs to be looked into. Especially if we were to look at the numbers passing. If you look at the numbers passing, you will realize that there's more young people that passed in the Western Cape than in the previous years. Just as it is the case with the rest of other provinces, except one or two provinces that I would mention at a later stage. 41,900 wrote matric in the Western Cape, and of those, 80.6% passed. 10,300 passed with endorsement, a slight decline from 10,500 that passed with endorsement in 2006. The presentation that we are going to provide members chair will indicate also in the districts which district got what, and with a view to trying to say we are trying to refine the analysis of the statistics such that it points us to specific things at the school level. For example, in 2008, our examination processing system is going to actually capture our results by item. We are going to see the matric results being captured. We're not just going to talk about metric results in that what went down, but we'll be speaking about the performance in trigonometry, the performance in geometry, trying to highlight the areas of the curriculum that young people are faced with difficulty during the writing of the examination. In that way, we believe we'll assist more our support services in the department in that regard. So the presentation tries to do this, and our analytical report that we are releasing this month is also going to point to the same chair. In the Northern Cape, the results went down, but the total number of young people that passed is bigger than any time in the past, at 7,141 who passed in the Northern Cape. And the endorsement rate in the Northern Cape was 11.90, and 1,208 young people passed with endorsement in the Northern Cape province. 10,158 had written. The Gauteng province has been improving its performance, and not only improving in terms of the numbers passing, but also in terms of the quality of endorsements that we achieved in this in the province in Gauteng. And I think if we were to name provinces where our intervention strategies are really indicating that they achievements, I think we will mention the Gauteng as one of those provinces. The Gauteng provinces, the total number of candidates who wrote in the Gauteng are 30,738 young people who wrote in 2007. The biggest number of young people writing since 1996 wrote last year. Of those, 17,000 passed, and the percentage for endorsement is 20.4%. You can see that if you said that the Western Cape was sitting at 24% endorsement rate, then Gauteng is sitting at 20.4%. Gauteng has done very well. In fact, if you were to look at actual numbers, you will realize that Gauteng is among the top provinces. In fact, by far better than some of the provinces that may have, in terms of percentage, have done better, but in the actual numbers that pass with endorsement, find that the numbers are not as what you, even a province like KwaZulu-Natal that may fall quite low in terms of the percentage, but it has more learners passing in 2007 than any other province in the country. So these are key areas that are important for us when we're designing intervention strategies, so that we are able to tailor-make intervention strategies to deal with specific problems that we face within each of the nine provinces.
Thank you. I don't think it's worth us for the presenter to bombard us with figures. We can read these figures. Can you perhaps now concentrate on corrective measures? You know, how can we improve results? Because we have this written, we can read it at our offices.
Is that the general theory? How heavy is that directive? Okay, I think we must go straight to the improvement. The study is improved. No problem.
Thank you, Jeff. If we were to speak about the improvement strategy in the department, I would remind the committee that when we speak of the national strategy for learner attainment, we're not just speaking about the strategy that we developed in 2006 and 2007. Since 1999, it's recorded that we established a national forum for learner attainment that began to deal with issues of underperformance in the system. At that time, I'll remind the committee that we were much more speaking about improving pass percentages. But as years went by, we started to speaking directly to some of the quality areas that we had identified, and how many numbers of girls pass in gateway subjects, how many numbers of girls pass in which province, and how many young people pass in which subjects amongst the subjects that are considered to be gateway subjects. In 2005, the Minister of Education then launched formally what we now know as the National Strategy for Learner Attainment. The National Strategy for Learner Attainment is about identifying areas of underperformance amongst all our schools. We believe that any school that still struggles with implementation of our policy underperforms. If they get 100% passes, but they still practice corporal punishment, the school still has a problem of racism, and other problems, that school is considered by ourselves as underperforming. But when we speak just directly in terms of metric results, we obviously have declared all schools under 60% as schools that are underperforming. The National Department therefore decided that all the 9 provincial education departments are going to look into look after the schools that performed under 60% in the previous year. But we had a special project that just deals with those schools that had performed under 20%, because that is what we had considered to be the worst areas of underperformance in the system, where schools would perform even lower than 5%. So what we then did in 2006 is to refine our analysis such that it points directly to which are those schools. And all of those schools were identified, and all of those schools that were identified, we monitored, first of all, from the beginning of the year, we monitored the delivery of textbooks. In all of the schools that were considered to be in this category of schools that perform below 20%, we ensured that by March in 2007, textbooks were delivered. In some cases, we reported to HODs in the provinces where we find as National Department that this was not the case. Or some textbooks had been delivered, but not all the textbooks had been delivered, as reports would have been received by us suggesting that the textbooks would have been delivered. Secondly, other than the delivery of textbooks, we really have focused in the orientation of teachers in subject content. Reports in the metric results have indicated quite clearly in the past that one of the reasons for poor performance in metric is poor content knowledge of teachers themselves. And so it was very important for us to identify subject advisors in each of the 9 provinces, and the Director General has also ensured that in each of the 9 provinces, the subjects where you find that there are shortages of subject advisors, like shortages of subject advisors have been reported in math and science subjects in some of the provinces. The recruitment and selection of these people is done, and appointments are done. But what we have done as part of the National Strategy for Learner Attainment is to identify subject specialists in each of the 9 provinces and appoint those as coordinators of their own subjects in the provinces, so that they are able to drive the content training for teachers in all the 9 provinces. There are provinces where we recorded the most successful training programs, such as Limpopo and Gauteng, where over weekends teachers were pulled away from schools to attend the training. I think three key areas that we attack the intervention strategies. But what is important about these schools that we have identified as underperforming, I would like to take back members of this committee to the performance of this category of schools that perform under 20 since 1999. Since 1999, we had 1,034 schools that performed under 20 in our system. This number of schools have been declining since 1999 up until 2007, when we had 118 schools that performed under 20. These are the public schools. This number would go to 183 if we were to include independent schools, as the chair would be aware that we are not just running examinations for public schools only, we're also running examinations for independent schools as well. But if we are just speaking about public schools, we have reduced the number of schools that pass below 20% from 1,034 to 118, and we believe that this is an indicator that our intervention strategy is working. It is very clear to us here that since 2002, we have not recorded as much success in this intervention strategy as we have recorded between 1999 and 2002. Clearly because when you get deeper into the schools that performed the poorest, I just had an opportunity to visit one school called Masibambisane in the Western Cape. I think it's the worst school I've ever seen. And the minister has been reported to the minister. But what we are saying is that when you get to this type of schools, where the teaching and the culture of teaching and learning has broken down, it's not just a workshop and an extra class that is going to transform performance in those schools. There are fundamental things that need to be done in such circumstances. So in the schools that perform under 20%, there are fundamental areas that the minister has decided that in 2008 we look into. Towards the conclusion, I'm going to read all the 10 areas that are going to be the focus of the 2008 in the intervention strategy to demonstrate the point. But I would like to speak about our success in helping the schools under 20% as though we are only focused on the schools that are under 40. There are schools that also are under 60%, and if you do an analysis of our results, you will see that a greater majority of schools in South Africa perform above 60% anyway. Obviously, as a Department of Education, if one learner were to fail, we can't say that we are happy that we got a 99% pass rate. In the family of a child who has failed, there is a 100% failure rate. So as we take the approach as a department that says that as long as there's still one child that fails, we will continue with the intervention strategy. And I think the provinces must be commended, because the provinces have begun since last year, in fact in the last 3 years, to put resources into this. In the province like Gauteng, there has been not less than 2 million rand that has been put into the project just for coordination and additional support, learner support materials that have been bought. 25 million, for example, have been injected into the project by KwaZulu-Natal and other provinces as well. There's not one of the 9 provinces that have not added additional resources in the intervention strategy. So over and above the operational budget of each of the 9 provinces, we have seen that each province have also gone further to ensure that there is additional resources there added. But I think there is also important for me to mention an accounting system that the minister has put in place in this regard. The minister has actually ensured that in every head committee, in every meeting of the heads of education, provincial education department, the issue of the national strategy for learner attainment becomes a standing item. And therefore, at every CEM meeting, MECs for education report on the progress that is being made in this regard. So minutes of every CEM meeting indicates every month the kind of progress towards our target areas that is made by each of the 9 provinces. And therefore, the monitoring system of the Department of Education
it's based on those monthly reports that we receive from the provincial heads as well as the chairperson. Now the 10 areas that are the focus for the intervention strategy for 2008 are as follows. I think before I start reading this, I'll foreground this NFLA plan for 2008 by indicating that we are quite aware that one of the biggest challenges that we are faced with in 2008 is the challenge of this being the new curriculum, and therefore the importance of making sure that each and every teacher is well equipped. I think, Chair, it is now recorded, it's now known that in the last, we didn't just start preparing this year for this. We have started in the last 2 years. In grade 10, we ensured that each and every teacher have assessment guidelines and additional learner support materials, and we have tried to set a standard that says that at least one textbook per learner per learning area must be provided. This has not been achieved in all cases, but we are seeing an improvement in this regard, and the minister is monitoring this, and I believe that we are on track in this one. But I think the point I want to make is that young people that are going to write matric in 2008 are not going to write matric that they are going to wake up and say, "Oh, it's a new matric in 2008," and they don't know what this is about. They already have been given an opportunity to experience this in grade 10. As you quite recall that in 2006, we provided all grade 10 learners with the sample, what we call exemplar question papers. And these question papers are set by the same panel that is our exam panel that is setting the 2008 examination. So that the standard is not something that is unknown to teachers, unknown to principals of schools, but it is clear what it is. During the process of doing this, we also were piloting in each of the 9 provinces to ensure that in those pilots we are able to get a sense, because you see, when you move from one examination system to the other, because this is a drastic shift, there is always an importance of us looking after the standards. When we are doing standardization of matric results, we always make sure that we compare the performance of the cohort of young people that are writing matric in that year with the performance of the similar cohort writing in the last 5 years of other examinations. So that we are not going to wake up and say mathematics in 2008 has improved in performance by more than 30%, because there's nothing like that you can find. Researchers have indicated to us that anything that is beyond 10% improvement needs to be looked into in terms of what were the standards of the question papers that were set, and so on and so on. So we've been working on this very carefully over years, and in 2008 I can assure you that the system is combat ready. In 2007, one of the additional interventions as part of preparing learners for writing in 2008 is that we ensured that every young person don't just write their teacher's third test and then they pass to grade 12. But we ensure that at least 4 of all the subjects that they are writing are set nationally. So in 2007, in addition to, despite the capacity that we have, Chairperson, which is the same as we have had in the last 3 to 4 years, but we added an additional examination to run a grade 11 examination, which was conducted with integrity, and which was quality assured, and all grade 11 wrote a nationally set examination. Which means that these young people that are going to write matric in 2008 are not just going to write a standard that they don't know. For the last 2 years, they've been prepared in this regard. We realize that you are not going to prepare learners only by ensuring that exams are fine, that teachers know the standard, but you will also need to work with your teachers. But this is a long-term process. What we can assure the House is that along the way, we are going to be providing orientation programs whilst higher education provides much more in-depth training for our teachers. Now, these are the 10 areas of focus for the intervention strategy.
It's a bit different that you don't have that big one. I'm trying to follow from these. Is what you are saying contained in this slide?
Yes.
I'm lost. I don't know. I'm trying to... You can give us a page so that we...
In page 34, Chair.
Page 34.
Yes, the slide on the bottom.
34.
Yeah.
I'm sure it will help because we... So that we move together.
The 10 key areas of focus for 2008 in our intervention strategy. Firstly, it's what we call a back-to-basics strategy. This is a simple one of accounting. We want to go to each and every one of the 6,500 high schools in South Africa. We want to see that there is a record of attendance by both teachers and learners. This is the basic thing. We want a record that indicates that the school starts on time and where there is any interference in the program, though the time that is lost is attended to. We are very careful in this space, back to basic strategy for 2008, in that we've also read reports, for example, the last report of the HSRC, have indicated that it's not always that in the system we have a problem of teachers being upset. That is not a problem that we have right now. Teachers do go to school, but the issue is, do they go to class when they are at school? Do principal monitor that they are getting into class? Those are the key areas that we are going to be monitoring this year. We want to make sure that every school has an attendance register for periods, a periodic register. And that periodic register breaks down clearly how many periods a teacher has per week. On average, a teacher will have 41 periods a week. How many of the 41 periods the teacher has attended? It's going to be our main focus in this strategy. We also have been warned that there is what we call lesson transition. When a teacher takes his own time before he attends the class, walking into another class, from moving from one class, is more than 10 minutes. When you arrive in the class, you still are looking for uniform, and you are asking who was late, who was not there yesterday. You have not started to teach mathematics. So what we have asked the principal to do is not just to say the periodic register says it's 41 hours a week, but what goes into those 41 hours? We have a difficulty in that some of our unions are giving us a hard time when we want to get into class and see this happening. But we have the cooperation of all the major unions, and we are happy about this. We know that in the past there's been abuse of this inspection. But we are going to, in 2001, going to negotiate with the unions, work with the unions, appeal to the unions to support us, because we are going to class. We are going to the classroom. We are going to demand that the teacher who gets to mark matric at the end of the year, firstly, there must be demonstration that he marks his own classroom, and that the quality of the marking in his own classroom, because that is where the actual teaching and learning takes place. The didactic, the teaching and learning is assessed by the tests that are set by schools through the continuous assessment policy. And we are going to be looking into the quality of those items that are set by teachers, so that matric learners don't wake up at the end of the year, it's an international standard examination, by the items that are set by these young people at the beginning of the process of teaching and learning is not of the standard that we would like to see. So the first area in the NSLA plan for 2008, the back to basic one, is going to look into this comprehensive area of accountability in the teaching and learning scenario at all the schools. Secondly, Chair, the delivery of learner-teacher support materials has in the last 2 years has been a priority. All our teams that are monitoring right now in the school, despite the fact that the minister has set teams that have monitored at the beginning of the year, but our responsibility as the national coordinators of the strategy is also to say that when we arrive at a school and we find that there are no textbooks, those textbooks, we're not going to even go via the province to ask questions about it. we will buy and we'll procure those textbooks directly at National and we'll deliver directly to the school when that is happening. So the 2008 is business unusual. 2008, it's when we really, really are going to be looking into the area of textbooks. You cannot expect learners to pass if they have nothing, no textbooks. And I think this is going to be the biggest emphasis in the strategy for learner attainment in 2008. So thirdly, we always have had reports that indicate that learning area, especially the learning area knowledge of teachers, subject content, the content knowledge of teachers, is the area that requires us to work harder. We have been working very hard in this area. That is why all our subject advisors that are placed in each of the 9 provinces, especially we started in 2006 with just 11 subjects, where we said in these 11 subjects in each province, we've got one coordinator for this particular subject who's going to make sure that the subject content knowledge of teachers. But we have problems in provinces like Limpopo, in provinces like Eastern Cape, in provinces like KwaZulu-Natal, there's lots of numbers. In subjects like math and science, you find we have only two probably experienced subject advisors and that you can entrust with the responsibility of running this content workshops in the entire province. And we are also careful not to take teachers away from class at the same time. So it's much of a very delicate thing, but we are pushing on this one. The fourth area of focus is to organize teachers at grassroots level. We have realized that one of the big problems in matric is that young people experience the matric standard only when they write the matric. So in order to make sure that the quality of assessment that is conducted at each school, we organize all teachers in clusters in each of the districts so that they set those tests that they write in those schools within those clusters so that they can share the expertise for item development, which is not necessarily in abundance. We have seen this because even amongst our own examiners at national level, we have had to fire some of the examiners who have not complied with the standards that we set for them. So if that is the case at national level and provincial level, you can imagine that this is an area of concern for us at district level. And this is what is our fourth area is going to be, to organize teacher forums that are not organized on union lines, but that are organized on subject expertise area. Which teacher in this district, in this cluster, among these 5 schools, understand the syllabus and has had a record of success in the teaching and learning. And this is the teacher we are going to entrust with the responsibility of ensuring that he moderates the test, he assists with the training, he supports the subject advisors in this regard. The fifth area is going to the fact that as much as you've been asking for all schools to provide us with improvement plans, now we want subject improvement plans, not just the improvement plan that talks about the whole school. In each subject, we want the teacher to indicate in science, in mathematics, in English second language, what is the improvement plan of the school, and how is this the resources that are allocated by the province, not just financial resources, but human resources in terms of subject advisors being deployed to monitor. How often is the subject advisor visiting schools that are identified to be having to be struggling in this area? So these are the things that we are going to be looking into the itinerary of subject advisors, to look into which schools get more visits. Are we not focusing on schools that are easy to reach and not focusing on schools that are remote because it's difficult to reach those schools? Because these are the experiences that we have actually recorded and observed in the past, and this is the area which the NSLA is going to be looked into. Teacher mentorship program, the Free State province has been the most successful in this regard. Over the last, I think you will recall, Chair, that between 2002 and 2004, Free State recorded the biggest metric improvement. And when we looked into it, because we wanted to look at the Free State success as an experiment in the NSLA so that we transfer those success stories and best practices to the rest of other provinces, we realized that Firstly, the province negotiated very carefully with the unions that if the principal continues to underperform or to run a school that underperforms, the principal is moved to a school next door or to be mentored by the principal who's successful, and another person will be identified who's going to run the school. They've done that at a very small scale, but in that small pilot that the province has done, we have recorded and we've seen the success of this school. We are not going to run amok trying to move everybody from their own school, but the fact of the matter is that where there is really clear evidence of underperformance, I've made an example of one school that I've showed just this week in Western Cape. You in that school, you just have to do the drastic. You just have to think of another person who's going to run the school. There's 1,100 young people in Masbambisane, and the principal coward went down to it 2 days, 2 years ago. There's the deputy principal fighting this. The teachers are not going to class. One student was stabbed in the last. Those are the kinds of things that we are eradicating in the system. So when we are dealing with the NSLA, we're not just narrowly looking at just the curriculum area, but we are also mentoring teachers, mentoring principals in the manner in which they are managing those difficult circumstances. The seventh one is a focus on language, especially English second language. I think we have a big problem in this area. The fact that English and Afrikaans are languages of teaching and learning, and we've got more than 80% of young people writing matric in a language that is not a language of their birth, is a problem. What we have done, Chair, in this regard, we have done a little experiment with the University of Pretoria. What we have asked the University of Pretoria to do is to test our assumptions in the area of language in two areas. Firstly, we provide all examination question papers in both Afrikaans and English, which means that if you speak English and Afrikaans, you have an opportunity during examinations to code switch, which the rest of other young people may not have an experiment. But we didn't, and we do that because that's policy. Policy on teaching and learning says that those are the language of teaching and learning, and therefore we provide. But if in an exam there is any student who has an advantage above another, that means the examination needs to deal with that matter so that we level the playing field. So what we did is we did an experiment, a pilot, in which a study was conducted, and the report of that study has now been provided to us. What is interesting to us is that the report is not saying the things that we assumed were the problems with regards to English and Afrikaans. In fact, the report is saying your own the weakest link in the assessment system is the accessibility of language that is used when testing. In other words, as much as we speak about English that is being used, but at some time our examiners have exceeded the level that needs to be in terms of the standard of English that is used. Whereas you could use easier words, we have found that in the papers that we've asked them to benchmark, there are much more difficult words that have been used in some cases without. Obviously, the same study shows that this is improving over the years. But it's an area of concern, and it's an area where we are going to be focused in this. We are going to be calling upon such established service providers that support teaching and learning in English second language. There's lots of those in all the 9 provinces. We'll work with them in ensuring that there's additional training in this regard for teachers. The 8th one, learner motivation program. It is very clear to us that there are very few provinces that have psychological services in their support systems. And those psychological services, where they exist, they don't necessarily do very well when it comes to assessment of learning problems of young people writing matric. So there's lots of young people who write matric who don't know how to study in the first place. They don't know how to access information from the textbook. They think that if they look at the book for as long as it takes, the information there will be assimilated into their own system. So we have realized that it's very important for us to work with specialists, with our psychological services, to ensure that this area is attended to. The assistance of learners in study, in better study habits. Ninthly, I've covered this one, the ninth one of CARES, by saying that we are going to organize into cluster teacher formation so that we look into the quality of items set at district level. The last one is the broader strategy for teacher development. As you are aware that in our website we've got a teacher development strategy that is much more comprehensive, that indicates that as much as in the NSLA we are assisting teachers, we are not assisting them outside of the framework that is there. I think I would conclude on that note.
Thank you so much. You presented with such a passion. You could go on for another hour. I'll allow my members to come with their comments and questions and possibly bring their own experiences in their constituencies. And on that front, again, if we could start working on those school visit reports so that we can put them together.
Thank you very much, Professor. thank you, sir, for the presentation. However, your presentation is not really frankly, it's written black on black. In the first place, when we look at the intention to begin to say how can we assist in improving the arithmetic outcomes, I think you have mentioned quite a number of things, but you don't come to the most, what I regard as most important, to actually train and retrain teachers in order to make them more resourceful. And the other thing that is missing there is we know that the country has been plunged into resistance or marches by teachers who left classes demanding better salaries, but you didn't touch on that. And the fact that our country is actually in dire shortage of teachers is mainly because teaching has never been made an attractive profession in terms of salaries. Now, you also mentioned here that the results in 2007 have actually dwindled as a result of the borderline grade levels who have been moved or pushed into grade 12, and that had influence on not quite a desirable result. Now, if that is the case, then one would ask a question as to then what has actually contributed to weak results from 2004 to 2006, if we can tie up the bad results last year to the grade 11s were just pushed to grade 12. Now, schools that performed under 20%.
There are many people here. Surely you cannot not have all your questions. You just have three questions so that we allow everybody. Hold on your questions.
Okay.
That Jim, Tim.
Thank you, Chair. Let's thank the department for this presentation, especially the analysis of the statistics as well as what actually lies below it. I just have a problem in some of the issues raised here. Firstly, you see that the question of metric results if one looks from your position, the statistics and so on, you could see that there are certain trends that keep on cropping up. And time and again, we talk of interventions. One of the ways, for example, Western Cape and Gauteng are always, you know, succeeding, you know, perform well, both qualitatively and in terms of quantity. And a similar position happens with other provinces, always underperforming. And then now we talk of interventions. And when we talk of interventions, I get an impression that now the focus is mainly on grade 12. Whereas grade 12 is just the last standard. I don't hear much about the whole system. Because grade 12 actually is an outcome from grade R, you know, and so on, you know. So even your presentation and the NSLA plan for 2008, one get an impression, I'm subject to correction, that it will seem will continue focusing just on metric grade, plan for 2008. Now, I wonder, because as you rightly pointed out, the 2007 is for 12 years. What is happening at grade 12 is a reflection of what was happening from grade R. And therefore, it will be more meaningful if we can balance, you know, intervention short term. But equally important, we need a long-term approach. How do you look at the whole system, these trends? Now, but at the same time, I'm quite pleased the fact that there's one point which I thought perhaps you will elaborate on, this question of approaching fundamentally certain systemic issues, like management, for example. Can we talk of management? Can we have a plan to deal with these trends at a more fundamental level? The issue of addressing basic issues, you know, at a systemic level. Now, why do we have Western Cape, Gauteng? Why are we thinking about Mpumalanga and Limpopo? Eastern Cape in particular. I don't hear those interventions, and especially addressing them at the system level. So I think as long as we focus on grade 12, you know, and we pay attention, it may also have some other unintended consequences. I'll make an example from my own province without mentioning a particular school, where now there's been so much emphasis that come up with 60% and so on, to the fact that now they ignore most of the teachers focus on grade 11 and 12 at the expense of the other classes. And then they ignore them because the only ones to be labeled now among those schools that have improved. So there are some unintended consequences. I think it will be important that we should begin to address the issue of improvement of our education at a more system level, more fundamentally, right from the system, right from grade R. Those issues like language, for example, grade R and A. Those issues of management, more fundamentally. Those issues of accountability. I mean, these are the issues which, in my view, while the short-term interventions, you know, are necessary, but more equally fundamentally, we want to hear more intervention for long-term purposes at a system level. Thank you.
Hi, go ahead, this side. Well, hello. Yes, this is. I'm moving around.
Chair, thank you for the opportunity. And of course, I think to the DA, education is really such a critical, important issue with regards to an open opportunity society. And I cannot let myself to say two things on the results that were very important. And one is not everywhere, but there are provinces where we actually differ with your results, and that results weren't appropriate. And I can just start off by saying in Mpumalanga, we actually got hold of an email between two people in your department actually say, where he admits, I've got the whole quote here if you want that, admit that the department released the 2018 grade 12 results and statistics before all the marks have been captured. I can read the paragraph if you're interested, but I mean, that is of great concern. So, you know, and then the department expects us to trust all the figures we get and all the stats. But may I also say, I can recall when we were in those days in Standard 9, Chair, and now the Grade 11. It always used
to be... Can you repeat what you're saying slowly? I'm trying to cut to what you're saying. Are you saying what happened to us?
In Mpumalanga, Chairperson, there was an email between two departmental staff. And it says where the one person actually admits that the department released the 2007 Grade 12 results and statistics before all the marks have been captured. And I actually have the quote from the email. If you really want me to, I'll read it to you, because it's quite significant. My question is the trustworthiness of the result statistics given to us. That's the first serious concern we have. But I also want to say, Chairperson, if Standard 9 in the old days and Grade 11 today always seem to be the most difficult year of going to school. Now, if that is so, why is it that people pass Grade 11 today, but they fail Grade 12? How is it possible? Because surely if that is the truth still, then if you pass Grade 11, you must pass Grade 12, and that is not happening. I also put the question to, you know, the circuit manager signs off the schedules every year. And if they do so, why is the blame always on the school principals? Where are the circuit managers when all this fails? And I think that needs to be gassed up quite a lot. My other issue is, if you look at, and that is quite true with what the Honourable Member said there, if you look at the Grade 12 now in 2007 last year, when they started Grade 1, it must have been 1996 if my calculations is correct. My question is, we are so focused on the 60% passing rate that we had last year, but did we investigate properly to see how many Grade 1 started in 96 compared to the figure who actually wrote the exam, the almost 600? Then I would wonder if the 60% passing rate is really the truth. And I think that needs investigation, because in fact school year starts at the... I've got two other questions, but I'll give the chance to other members first.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I think the very important remark that you made at the outset was, you know, the question, how will we make sure that the teaching in the classroom reciprocates the high standards that we have? And I think that really most people would agree that the matric exam and the result, the standards of that exam, also the standards of the curriculum as it is at the moment, are acceptable, at an acceptable level, but the problem is what happens in the classroom. I think you have now outlined a few very important steps. I think one must commend you on that and acknowledge that you have outlined quite a few important steps to try and improve teaching in the classroom. You know, but the question is, to an extent, you know, are we going far enough? We hear about the fact that you want to improve accountability, and that is great, but my question would be, you know, what are the sanctions going to be if a teacher, for instance, does not attend school or does not, you know, attend class as he or she should do? Are they going to be charged with misconduct? What is the plan in that regard, so that teachers also know what will happen, you know, under these kind of circumstances? And in addition to that, many of your plans are still very developmental, and I, of course, we agree that that is important and good that it happens that way. But surely there must be a final point, you know, in terms of when all teachers must have the necessary qualifications. There are still a number of teachers without the necessary qualifications and so on. You know, are we going to see, are we going to make it clear to the public, to the teachers, to everyone, that by a certain date in future, you know, we expect all teachers to have their qualifications, otherwise they will be deregistered, or whatever the case may be.
And I think I also want to add to what my friend and colleague Comrade Ben had to say in terms of the question of a management plan. Is there a specific, in addition to the whole question of improving teaching in the classroom, the other important thing is to really get management of all our schools at an acceptable level. What are your direct plans as far as that? We read in the newspaper the other day about certain principals that have a major impact on the management of certain schools when they send their, I think there was an article on a specific one that is being used in one of the provinces. Is there really a plan in terms of that to turn around schools that are on the wrong track? And lastly, also referring to the fact that we shouldn't only concentrate on the matric exam and so on, but much earlier as well, what is the latest in terms of your plans to have home language education not only in the first three grades but up to grade six? Are you still only at the point of encouraging provinces in that direction, or are you at a point where you can say that is now indeed what this department is going to drive that specific position? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair Stefan.
Can we limit our questions to three? Short, three, six questions.
Okay, that will be fine, Chair. Chair, the first concern is the whilst there might be a number of matriculants that have registered to write matric, could you elaborate on the number of failures? Have they increased as well? Secondly, Jefferson, my colleague elaborated on the issue of the strike for wage for the educators, and that perhaps might have added to the general dissatisfaction of education. Now, I believe and understand that this matter has not been resolved, and there is a further dispute on the OSD with the Public Service Coordination Bargaining Council. Could you elaborate on that, as this will have a profound effect on education, and especially while Mexico is this year? Lastly, Chairperson, the issue of crime and violence in schools. There must be a campaign. There must be a more strategic approach to this, as violence and crime in schools also add to the reducing interest of learners to participate in schools actively. Thank you, Jen.
Chair, I just wanted to respond to this reference to an email that passed between two people within the department questioning the quality of the results of Mpumalanga. I think that in terms of the report that we've received, clear reference has been made to Umalusi, and Umalusi is the institution that really guards, and can I say guards jealously, over the standards that are maintained. So I think an incident like that of an email between two members of the department is quite anecdotal and incidental, and you know, it shouldn't cloud the legitimacy of the results that have been verified by such a quality assurance institution as Umalusi. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry, I'm starting to complain. That's okay. I would like to agree with our receivers, those who have asked questions already. You know, focusing on metrics, it's like my teacher used to say, you cannot set in a peak on the day you fail. It's like doing that, you know, ignoring the other rungs of the education ladder, the R grade, the P primary education, and I would like to agree with my colleagues in that, especially when we regard the tricks as a means to a certain end. Then my question, sir, was in fact the whole presentation is throwing up more questions than answers. For instance, you have just said the matrix, there's an improvement in as far as numbers are concerned. My question would be, is the department also, what is the correct word, those who have passed, what is happening to those learners who have passed matrix? Are they in universities, are they sitting idle at home? Because that would add also more frustration, and in fact it would also work as a demotivation to those who are already in matrix now to see those who have passed sitting at home. Because we talk of quality, that it has improved, but there seems to be a difference between the quality we're talking about and the quality that is being demanded by universities and even the business world, not taking in those metrics, those learners with personal metrics. How is the department monitoring this difference between our own quality, what we say is quality, and what is being demanded by institutions of higher learning and the business world? And my last one, because there are many questions, in the steps that you have enumerated, say, you talk about going back to basics. One of the things that we've mentioned is the delivery of textbooks. That if, say, you find the school not having these textbooks, instead of referring back to the province, will deliver those books yourself, which is good. But how do you then promote accountability by provinces if you just ignore what they've done, but deliver the books yourselves? I'm not saying that's the right thing to deliver the books, because you are helping what you found on the spot. And the very last the question is about the content knowledge of our teachers, which is lacking. I do admit that it's lacking. Are you thinking there of having what you used to have in service, to call it in service centers, versus one day workshops, because those have proved not very sufficient and effective. Are you thinking of winter or summer in service training for our teachers? Thank you.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. I say on the list here from the department's plan, it was mentioned that a group of students who wrote old metric. So nothing was mentioned on those who failed. How are they going to be assisted to complete their metric, because now we have got a new curriculum? And then one other thing, it was 34. Oh, prof, but you that one of your reading, it's clear and visible and standardized or what? The ones which you are using here. Really, even if you put your glasses, really you can't get all those. But it was important that they just mentioned that what are the preparations and the plan of those who failed the old matrix. And then one other thing, Prof, about the those who passed matrix. Maybe Honorable Martinella, if she can assist to relate the story about the frustration of students who passed matrix but who couldn't be admitted at universities due to closing or due dates for registrations or due dates for admission at schools, at universities. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Chair.
I've got a few questions, but I'm also just a bit concerned because we're actually going into the house at 12, so I don't know if you've got a plan for how we're going to proceed. I wondered if you could comment on problems around accommodating learners at the beginning of a year and how this ultimately impacts on the results that we're looking for and the sort of extended time period in terms of getting those students settled. And also, the nutritional programs, have problems in this area been hindering results? Are you focusing in that area in any way? Do you feel that's all taken care of and it's running the way it should? And if you could just let us know where that fits in terms of priorities. And the Northeast schools obviously were put there to sort out a lot of the problems that we were facing. Are the NOFI schools actually improving the situation in terms of freeing things up so that we can see that we're heading towards getting the statistics that we want, or are we still facing big problems that still have to be dealt with and those kind of things? And then, of course, as was mentioned earlier, just the issues around students not feeling safe in their schools, I just want to add emphasis so that we could hear your comment on that. Thanks.
We'll be briefed on nutrition next week. So rather we let's hold on that one. We're going to get a full briefing. Yeah. Asuka.
Thank you, Chairperson. My main worry is about schools in rural areas. Where those people, I think they are really being forgotten. Because, Chairperson, even this delivery of books, they don't reach those places in time. But I think it is because of them being really in rural areas. So now my question is that, how are they going to monitor now that the books are reaching those places in time? As they said, they are going to try their best to check that one. The subject advisors, to me, I welcome that one. But I just want to know, if that one is going to be done on higher grades only, how are they going to see that each and every school in the provinces are getting those subject advisors? It is so important to me. I thank you, Captain.
I won't die, Chairperson, but I think it's important. My apologies for being late. I'm more interested in the research that was done with regard to the language policy, where students were given two question papers, one in English, one in Afrikaans. I just want to know as to, now that the report is out about that research, how is it going to assist us? Because in my view, it will definitely continue to be of benefit or advantageous to only those English speaking and African speaking students. I just want to know as to how it's going to help the those who are not English or African speaking. Secondly, Chairperson, regarding this pool that we are worried about of those matriculants who have got a certificate but cannot gain university entrance and they cannot go back to school. I just want to know as to what is it exactly that we are doing in that regard, because I will be corrected if I'm wrong, but I've just been made aware that Umalusi has further decreased the pass rate from, I think, around somewhere around 40% to 33%, meaning that those students who
pass at 30, at an average of 33%, are given a school leaving certificate, but at the same time they are not accepted at university and they cannot back, go back to the school. So I just want to know as to what is it that you are going to do with this school since it is increasing every time. Thanks, Shepherd.
I need to mention this. I visited the school that the DG and his team had visited the previous day, and textbooks had not been delivered to this school for a particular class. But after they had left, that very same afternoon, the books were delivered. I wish to commend you for that. But then it says quite a lot, you know, in terms of where do things go wrong. Let me rest it there, because I have a bag for you, but anyway, it's fine.
Why on that one? Let's ask, open a hotline. If in your constituency you visit school and open your phone, the DG books will come. Okay, can you respond now? Can we? I don't know, but we have. Some of us are teaching there, so we have to be there at time. I don't know how best, because I have 5 pages of questions here. Maybe we can put some together and try to care.
Yeah, I'll try to do that. So let me start by saying that the Department of Education does have a hotline, 0800 2029 33. We get about 2,000 calls a quarter into that hotline. So 0800 20 29 33. Call it. Let us know if you don't get a satisfaction. But many of these might be issues that could be picked up. Chair, let me just apologize also for coming in late, and I don't want to take Mr. Sishi's place here because he's dealing with some of these. I'm glad you did say that on school safety we'll get a full briefing, because, Chair, I think what has been put out in the media in the last while is really a misrepresentation of a lot of the data that was there. Chair, let me just run through a couple of quick ones, and the one I wanted to catch up on was, I think the suggestion that we really stuck with the teacher negotiations as a further dispute, etc. While it's true to say that we haven't yet reached agreement on that occupation-specific dispensation, you would have seen a statement from the LRC, in fact, earlier this week, that confirmed that the talks were going ahead. They're being facilitated now by an external mediator, and all the parties in that statement indicated their confidence that we would be reaching agreement fairly soon on that one, which is an important one. It firstly, it put money into the pockets of teachers, which is good, but secondly, and I think capturing a number of things that people have raised here, one of the things it will do will, of course, reward good teachers. It will build in that accountability. People have asked what the sanctions are. Obviously, the primary sanction is misconduct, and that's correct. But the OSD now builds in significant financial incentives for being a good or an excellent teacher. If you want your 1 a year, 1% notch, it's fine. Just keep doing what you're doing and you will get that 1%. If you want to be rated higher than that, like good or as excellent, you in fact are going to have to invite the inspector into your classroom to observe you teaching to see whether you in fact deserve that. So I think we found a way of dealing with the whole issue of teacher performance and accountability that is going to be very valuable. I think it's right. The underqualified educator, Chair, there is no reason for any unqualified educators to be in the system at this stage. We have a provision that says if you cannot find a qualified teacher, then obviously to avoid a class being without a teacher, yes, you can appoint one on a temporary basis. But the fact that we've now got the agreement with Home Affairs, we've got pre-approved work permits for foreign teachers, quite honestly, there is no basis at this in this day and age to be appointing unqualified teachers. The only reason it happens, unfortunately, is many school bodies, school governing bodies, would rather recommend the unqualified person from the community rather than accepting a foreign teacher, Zimbabwean or others, into their schools. But I'm happy to say that, for example, the POPO has now started quite significant recruitment of foreign teachers, and we want to see all provinces moving that way. There should not be any unqualified teachers in the system. On the management of schools, we've got 400 school principal this year in our new ACE program. It's an advanced certificate in school leadership. If we see that the effect of this is to manage better schools, certainly we will be expanding that program and hopefully make a difference there. The home language one, I don't think, Honorable Gaum, we're going to compel people in any way around home language. In the end, we've left it to parental choice. Parents are more and more, I think, choosing home language in some areas, but of course many parents have opted for another option, and I'm not sure that we're in the mood of compelling this kind of thing. Apart from the philosophical approach, the complexity I think we'd recognize in a province like Gauteng, where in one school you will probably find all 11 languages being spoken. Now, what do you do there? Do you allow all those 11 languages to be used? You can't do that. You then start dividing up, and we go back to having Zulu schools and Isikosa schools, etc. It's not the kind of school we'd be wanting to create. So it's both complex, but ideologically, I think important for us to say we would stand by the idea that parents choose that home language. Let me hand over to Mr. Tishy if I can. If there's anything else, I'll wrap up at the end, if that's all right.
Okay, also make a philosophical approach. I have all this. So you also have them. Would you please just respond them in paper so that you can send up something, so that everybody's question is answered? So you can highlight some main issues, but if you can write that, I think that would assist.
Anything else,
that whether we could not accept that way of doing things. All the questions are here. He has them. So that in black and white he can respond to them. And then we can now stop here and join the memorial.
If you allow me, I think there's just one that I'm
there, yes.
That is the one that referred to an image. Because I feel that we've worked too hard to build the integrity of our system to allow it to be tainted by an image. The reality is that it is true that we see how we process the results like this. There are deadlines that provinces must be given, that are given for them to finish capturing the results, because by this time the results must have been captured. And the system cannot recognize the results that are captured later than the time that was set out for the provinces, because we need to verify those results, to verify the integrity of those results. So the unfortunate thing about it is that if it occurs that there are results that are not captured before we release the final results, because we can't stop 850,000 young people from getting their results because two have not had their results being captured. Remember that it's not only those that would be omitted in that way. There are also those who, children who are involved in irregularities. They still don't get their results being released. So it is common practice that you don't release the results that have not gone through the scrutiny as defined by our policy. But I want to acknowledge one thing, because I think your questions are valid in that they are suggesting that as much as the system has matured in the way that it has, but there are provinces that are still struggling to meet a particular standard. And therefore, it is necessary for us to continue to focus and assist those provinces, so that when we say we release the results on the 28th, the only ones that are outstanding is only those which we are investigating because we are suspecting irregularities, not because they are administrative errors. So I think that is the reason. What is released as a result, we have more than 10 days before the actual date of release, after Umaluzi have approved the results, to check if everything was according to book. In Mpumalanga and the rest of a couple of other provinces, in certain areas we will assist them. And I think that is the last one, Chair. The intervention, NSLA, is not a metric intervention. It's because today we are talking about the metric results, but it doesn't mean that we are talking about things that happen in metric. You've got a national reading strategy, for example, that deals with grade R to grade 9. You've got systemic evaluation where at grade 3 there's assessment that is done, grade 6 there's assessment that is done, grade 9 there's assessment that is done. But the main thing, Chair, is that we are also taking notes, because these questions are also saying that as much as those things are in place, we must also be careful that some things are not as they appear on paper. We need to look into whether our strategies are really working in the areas that we claim they are working. And I think that's the correction that I wanted.
Thank you. Allow us to appear in the chamber, please. Say nothing now. Let us appear in the chamber. Let us go. I'm told there's a lunch at 12:30. Old Assembly. If you are hungry during lunch, go to Old Assembly. Panel is paying for you. 12:30. That means after the. Thank you so much.
Thank you.